Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the nature of error plus the nature of truth and why it is helpful to affirm the truth. Listen as we discuss some of the benefits of knowing the truth that makes mortals free from the belief in mortality. In this show, we will explore how truth dispels error and why avidya is mistaking the error for the truth. From 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and be perfect as your Father in heaven. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Spiritual Life is Changeless Perfection. What do you mean by that particular title?
Yeah, to break that down, spiritual life is an understanding of life as whole, complete. Also, the quality of spirit is it is changeless, and it's also perfect. Perfect here means whole, complete, fulfilled. And I got inspired to do this show from a work that Joel Goldsmith did called A Parenthesis in Eternity. And I have a quote here. I'll read it. This is different from thinking of ourselves as something separate and apart from God, having to ask God or attempting to influence Him. This is the difference between successful spiritual living and unsuccessful living of any type. End of quote. And so what we really want to focus on here is eliminating all of the confusion about what does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to accept spiritual identity? And then what is that going to look like when I'm actually doing it and not pretending to be doing it or thinking that I'm doing it?
I was going to ask you, if I was living a spiritual life, what would that look like to you?
Well, to live a spiritual life means that you must be conscious of the perfection of being, conscious of the one divine creation that is right here, it's right now, and it's functioning. And so if you are conscious of that divine creation, then consciousness is experience, which means your experience must externalize with these divine qualities. And so you would appear to material sense, mortal sense, as the reflection of the divine, which is perfect, whole, complete. The fruits of the spirit are peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. These would be the comprehensive clues that I would use to determine if you were truly spiritual or if you were mistaking the impermanent for the permanent.
So it's not enough. I might worship in a building every Sunday or read the Bible every day. That's not necessarily what we mean. It's not a behavior-based definition of spiritual life that we're talking about here.
Yeah, in this model, it's never about the conduct. It's always about the connection. Am I drawing from truth and wholeness, or am I still drawing from fear and limitation? Do I sow to the spirit, or do I sow to the flesh? And we're always looking for that element of purity. Purity is ability to think, feel, say, do one and the same thing. The idea of the inner and the outer being as one.
So I have a question about the word changeless. I've heard you say before the changeless state of being. So right now, our mortal bodies are not changeless because they can become diseased or have some kind of conditions. Am I thinking of that correctly?
Well, more and more we're starting to understand the nature of error as opposed to the nature of truth. And like you say, physical appearance, the entire physical world is in constant change, which means it does not have the divine quality of being changeless. So there becomes our first clue. The physical world is not spirit, but it comes under the heading of error. The idea of the word sin meant missing the mark. Oftentimes, we are locked in material identity or even mental identity, but we're under the illusion we are spiritual. And we assume that because I can declare and say that I'm spiritual in the same way I could say that I am the President of the United States. But if it's not backed by the principle, if I don't live in the White House, if I don't command the salary of the president, then there's no backing behind my words. And when we want to start to understand the difference between error and truth, words like perfection and changeless, eternal, immortal, go under the heading of spirit, and things like finite, mortal, imperfect, error, these are all things that are associated with what we are now understanding to be the false sense of existence.
Swami, somebody new to this way of thinking might say something like, well, if man was made in God's image, how is error possible?
Yeah, I have some stuff here from Joel Goldsmith in a lecture that he gave on the nature of error, and I'll read some of it. There is no such thing as anything separate and apart from God. There is no such thing as anything outside the realm of God. Everything that exists, everything that is actually God manifest, God express, God realized. End of quote. And to further substantiate more of the confirmation of the allness of the one creator, I have John 1:3-4. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of all men, end of quote. And to start to come out of the contradiction of just the question that you're asking, how can God be all good, and then we have sickness, suffering, disease, and death? And the best way to try and understand that is reading the Bible, where you have Genesis 1 with the divine creation. God makes everything. Everything is perfect, and it's very good. Then you come into Genesis 2, there's a mist that comes over the earth, and then there's this secondary creation. Now, this secondary creation is the human mental recreation of the spiritual creation. This is where things change, because this secondary mental human recreation is under a completely different law. It is now under the law of karma. It has a belief in two powers. In the secondary creation, there's good and evil, life and death, duality, the division, the divided consciousness. Herb Fitch in Revelations of St. John says that the human mental recreation is the shadow of the divine creation. So mortal mind is the shadow of divine mind. And now we're learning this is the era. This is what the Bible is talking about when it talks about era or sin. That we believe in mortality. We believe in the finite human mental recreation. And that becomes the origins of all of our problems.
So I think a little clarification about that part of the verse John 1:3-4, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I realize you probably did try to describe that to us, but could we break that down maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, for me, John is making reference to the one perfect divine life, the idea that everything that is created in Genesis 1 is of the one spiritual self, and it has all of the divine qualities, what Mary Baker Eddy would have referred to as divine egoism, the one perfect divine life, looking at itself, as itself, of itself, to itself. Everything is just a different aspect of this one perfect life.
And we're talking, that's another description for the word truth, is that correct?
Exactly. Truth is the realization of this perfect divine creation, which is right here, right now, functioning. And the only thing that is preventing us from seeing it is our human mental recreation, creating this veil. And it is our responsibility to come out of the hypnotic state that we're in.
We know that is the truth. So how does that dispel the error? If this is divine science, there must be reasoning behind it.
It works in the same way that light dispels darkness. Walk into a dark room and you turn on a light, then it illuminates the room. When you walk out of the room and you turn out the light, there isn't a black mist that fills the room. There isn't an opposing power to light. It's just the absence of light. The same with error. Error is the absence of truth. And the way this plays out is we're not conscious of the divine creation. We're preoccupied with the secondary human mental recreation, which falls under the heading of the outer world of sense. What is appearing in our five material senses becomes the error. And that's why it's very important to understand that it's never about the conduct. We're always worried that God is monitoring our behavior, rewarding and punishing us based on our behavior. But that's not how it works at all. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It runs under the law of one power. And what we know about this power is that it is absolute goodness. It is the power of harmony, eternal life. But we must be conscious of it in order to activate it in our experience. And so we use our experiences to help us understand, what am I conscious of? And that would be the concept of turning on the light. When you are conscious of the divine creation, that will illuminate your thought, and it will resolve things into thoughts, and it will exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. And this would appear to mortal sense as what is referred to as a healing.
So let's just say, Swami, I believe in God. I understand God is perfection and God is all. And yet I look around my life and it appears that it's in shambles. So obviously there's a disconnect somewhere. What would you say to me or somebody who's experiencing that?
In the Bible, it's referred to as the Christ. In the Old Testament, it's referred to as the Messiah. The mind of Christ is conscious of the divine creation. The mind that we have accepted to get us through this lifetime cannot bring forth the divine image. If we continue to try and do this without graduating from material five-sense thinking to spiritual seven-sense knowing, then it's like trying to get your email with a calculator. You're trying to do something with something that just can't perform what it is that you want it to do. The term in the Bible was called repent. Oftentimes we think that means plead for forgiveness, but in truth it means think differently. This graduation from thinking with our material senses to now knowing with our spiritual senses must be put in the equation.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, again, I'd like to talk more about error. How does it relate to the word avidya that we talked about in the summary?
Yeah, avidya is ignorance. It's the yoga concept of sin, missing the mark. We're drawing from the wrong energy field. The reason why I like yoga so much is because it uses a three-body system. It uses a physical, a mental, and a spiritual body. The more you work with what we call the physics of spirituality, like attracts like, yoga meaning union with the divine. Because when we incarnate into material existence, we draw from what is visible and tangible. As an infant, we look for food, mother, approval. We're looking for external reinforcement. And yoga meaning union with the divine, we must separate from our attachment to what is visible and tangible, but then we need to replace that because you can't just separate. Life is dependent upon connection to spirit. But in the process of yoga, we divide and conquer. We separate from our attachment to what is visible and tangible, but then we have to have this path of knowledge in the process because we can mistake what is invisible but tangible for what is invisible and intangible. Be very careful you don't draw from the realms of mind, thought, energy. Go the next octave up into what is invisible and intangible, spirit. Because the human experience is designed for peace, love, goodness, happiness. But a big part of this design is God itself. And we have to be clear and know what God is so that when we reconnect, we go right to the source, spirit. When spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
I see that we have some written works that might support our discussion here, Swami. The first one by C.W. Chadwick. Maybe we could review that with our listeners.
Yeah, this is an article that he wrote called The Redemption of Our Body. I'll read it. With all our boasted learning in physiology, anatomy, and kindred subjects, the human body is today just as much in need of redemption as ever before. And it will remain the glory jest and riddle of the world until explained in the light of Christian Science from the standpoint of the one perfect creator and one perfect spiritual creation. End of quote. I found this to be very helpful that you must start with the divine creation. You start with the perfection of being. That's what the Bible started with. Genesis 1, God's creation, and having awareness for the activity of that perfect divine creation. As Joel Goldsmith said, the difference between successful spiritual living and unsuccessful living of any type.
Swami, what more can we talk about the phrase changeless perfection?
Yeah, I have some more here from C.W. Chadwick from the same article, and I'll read it. What more practical evidence of God's mercy and love than this? That he has in the fullness of time sent Christ's truth to remove this contradiction of the ages, namely, the belief that a perfect God is the author of an imperfect creation. Humanity will not, cannot cease its groanings until a correct understanding of God's creation is reached. Then, and not until then, will it begin to realize man's God-given dominion over the body, and learn how to solve the problem of salvation. End of quote. More and more, I'm starting to see that thinking about this, talking about it, or even understanding it with this mortal mind doesn't really yield what Scripture is promising. We must be conscious of the divine creation. And you can't be conscious of the divine creation unless you have divine mind. I'll read a little bit more from C.W. Chadwick. It is mortal thought which always needs correction. God's thought, reflected in human consciousness, alone can heal and control the body scientifically. End of his quote. To demonstrate divine truth, we have a little bit more from Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health, page 116, line 30. An infinite mind in a finite form is an absolute impossibility. End of quote. Here we have another clue that if I am going to graduate to thinking with divine mind, I have to come out of mortal identity. I have to assume spiritual identity. And then we're learning by accepting and living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body takes care of what seems to be a finite mortal personal body. Going back to C.W. Chadwick in that same article, the true concept of body and the mortal sense of it greatly differ. The one is spiritual and perfect, the other is material and imperfect. End of his quote. The concept of avidya is when we are mistaking the impermanent for the permanent, when we're mistaking the material or the mental for the spiritual, is where we start to fall apart in this science.
So, I mean, the summary we read 1 John 4-6, and I just wanted to ask you about, hereby know we the spirit of truth. And then earlier in the summary, we said it's helpful to affirm the truth. So can you give us some insight about that?
Yeah, it's kind of like what it says in the Bible, know the truth and it makes you free, that we must know it, not just think it, not just believe it. And that's what we mean by affirm the truth. It's a process, because in order for us to know the truth, I need divine mind to take over the scientific government of my being. I must know myself in the way that I'm created, which is spirit.
So, you mentioned earlier that we can get a lot of this information from the Bible, in the Bible where it talks about the major error, and maybe we can review that with our listeners?
Yeah, I think that's found in Exodus 23. I'll read it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. End of quote. Error represented in the Bible to be false gods, the strange gods. But here we're learning its material sense. As Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health, page 169-16, I'll read it. If we understood the control of mind over body, we should put no faith in material means. End of quote. And today, if you just look around and you see how we approach our lives, we are constantly looking for this external reinforcement. We have a belief this finite mortal existence is real. It's driven by fear. Fear is a defense mechanism for the false sense of existence. So it becomes one of the biggest indicators. What am I sowing to? What am I conscious of? Because like we say, to be conscious of the divine creation dissolves the false sense of existence.
We have some writings here, Swami, from Mary Baker Eddy that might help us further our understanding of what we're talking about.
This is from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 10830. My discovery that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body set my thoughts to work in new channels and led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all and matter is naught as the leading factor in mind science. End of quote. Yeah, Mary Baker Eddy discovered what it means to affirm the truth, to know the truth, to be conscious of the perfection of being, which simply reveals the divine creation, and it dispels the fog, the mist of the mental human recreation that most of us are reacting to or believe in.
Swami, what does it mean when she said it led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all? What does she mean by demonstration?
Demonstration was the manifestation of this inner revelation, and it externalized as a healing, that she was on her deathbed, and then all of a sudden she got up, got dressed, and went downstairs. And then she started to realize spirit was a demonstrable principle, that it was a law. Spiritual law testifies with deeds, not words. And she went on, kept proving the presence of this divine creation, which was the message of the Christ, the ministry of Jesus's work.
And this from Ralph Wager's thing that will support exactly what you just told us about Mary Baker Eddy, Swami.
Yeah, he wrote an article, What of Our Bodies? And I'll read it. A healthy body is a human system in which functions and organs are under the control of divine mind. End of quote. Now, one of the things that I've also learned is you can appear to have a healthy body and still not be conscious of the divine creation. But to demonstrate divine truth, I have a little bit more from Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health, page 167, 22, 230. I'll read it. It is not wise to take a halting and halfway position or to expect to work equally with spirit and matter, truth and error. There is but one way, namely God and his idea, which leads to spiritual being. The scientific government of the body must be attained through the divine mind. It is impossible to gain control over the body in any other way. On this fundamental point, timid conservatism is absolutely inadmissible. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. End of quote. And like she says in that book, become conscious for a single moment that life is purely spiritual, and the body will utter no complaints. You don't just believe this, you prove it, you experience it, you know it to be true, but you have to realize that you can't get there from here. The way we're going about our lives today with our belief in matter and our reliance on everything external to ourselves is in violation of spiritual law. And so we do have to repent, think differently.
Well, it is that time to break down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio. Click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio show catalog page. And don't forget, by clicking on the products tab, and online classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. With that, Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and be perfect as your Father in heaven. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.